This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
The best Thursday ever. You bet your ass. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We are 3 weeks away from Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien shortly as practice is about to begin at the bubble. In about 4 hours and change, the Houston Astros, who've won seven straight games, are going to look to make it eight against the Rockies. 20 minutes after that, the Houston Rockets are going to look to take a 2-0 lead over the dog-butted Oklahoma City Thunder. Usually you have to wait and look at the clock to get your sports day started, but your sports day is already starting right now because practice is going on. It's going to take us right up to what I am calling, John Lopez, the best Thursday ever.
After the best Tuesday ever, it was... Hey, man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a fun show, and we've got a lot to cover today, obviously, with the Houston Texans on the field. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien, et cetera. But let's start right there. Astros are playing some ball. I mean,
they got balls.
They got it. They got it going on. Rockets, you guys know how I feel about game twos in general in the NBA playoffs. If you don't, I feel like it's always the most important game of a series. I think you win this one, and it is stick a fork in those nasty old Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're good to go. But the Thunder are going to come out. It's going to be a big game, and we're going to have it all, man. We're going to be watching it all.
They're for sure going to come out, John. That's some analysis. They will come out.
They will come out. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure they'll come out.
They beat them pretty good in the game one. They might just say, screw it.
They will show up.
I don't know.
They will be there at the bubble.
I don't know.
I believe so. I think they will be.
That's the first thing we got to watch for.
Did I give enough respect to Russell Westbrook yesterday? I didn't love on Russell Westbrook like I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I've always respected Russell Westbrook. And I know he's been the most hated guy in this town for a long time before the Rockets traded for him. I've never respected Russell Westbrook more than I did after the last Rockets game. Game one of the playoffs. And it has nothing to do with what he did on the court because obviously he didn't play. I've never seen someone more into a game than Russell Westbrook. He truly is riding and dying with this squad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't respect Russell Westbrook before, you see how hard he plays whenever he's actually on the courts. That dude was a head cheerleader the other day. I got nothing but love for Russell Westbrook. He earned my respect even more than he already had it.
Well, I mean,
the last game.
I'm out, man.
Well, he was in.
Don't be out.
He was all in, no question. And he was all in, I think, mostly because, look, he's obviously dying to be out there, but this, even more so because of the opponent and the history here with Chris Paul, and he wishes he could be out there doing it. So he just wants to he wants these Rockets to stay alive and make a statement whether he's on the floor or not. It's going to be a big ball game. Obviously, the Thunder are going to come out, as I said earlier, yeah, but I feel like they're going to come out in a totally different manner, not just in terms of energy and such, but I think they're going to try different things against this small lineup. because they were lost in terms of just scheme. You know, with these, they never were in it in game one. They have to try something.
What did you think of their scheme, John?
I feel like you're
throwing out some generic stuff to start the show.
I am not.
They're going to come out in their scheme. What was wrong with the Thunder scheme?
Well,
I'm an old film guy. I'm an old quarterback, man.
I don't know about that. But who was the guy, and I'm drawing a blank, I'll look for it here, who had the best luck against James Harden, the little skinny dude. And I'm drawing a complete blank. I think they're going to come out with him pretty much staying
so
on.
So the skinny dude's going to come out.
Skinny dude's going to come
out.
Yeah, okay. He's going to come out. On him, on Harden. And I think that's going to be what they're also going to do is they might have to try to go a lot smaller, a lot quicker.
John just left it all on the Texans pregame show. The Texans pregame show. He was so proud of his Mario Williams thing, and it's all downhill from here with OG.
No, I think they're going to have to go small and stay small a lot more.
The scheme? Are they going to come out?
Schroeder.
Are they going to come out? You know what country Schroeder's from?
Where?
If you had to guess.
I had to guess.
I'm surprised you don't know this.
I don't know.
You know where
this.
He's from?
Germany?
Germany.
Yeah, Germany.
I guess Germany.
Germany. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Germany.
So I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
The OG John Lopez here along with Figgy Fig. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien in just a sec. A lot of times athletes, whenever the odds are stacked against them, they kind of just like, they rise up.
Mm-hmm.
They rise above all the hate. Carlos Correa, I don't think it's a coincidence that Los has had the best start of his career this season. I honestly think while it looks like it's kind of wearing on Jose Altuve, I think Carlos Correa thrives on the drama. He wants you to hate him, and he doesn't give a damn what you got to say about him, and I think that's why we've seen Carlos Correa do what he's been doing. Yesterday, Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Hours after it was announced that Yordan Alvarez was going to miss the season, in a 1-1 game, top of the fourth, the baseball messiah, Alex Bregman, opposite field double, as he's rounding second, pulls up lame.
Yeah.
Clear hamstring.
Messiah.
Clear hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that have happened to the Astros, that moment right there was where I feel that the fan base was just defeated.
Yeah.
They were at an all-time low. It was almost like the world is against the Astros. It's just not meant to be. First Yordan, Justin Verlander, all these guys are down. Now the baseball messiah is limping out of the game. Toro pinch runs for him and gets doubled up at second base.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's a punch to the junk.
Yeah.
I mean, my balls were up to my chin at that point. And I feel like everybody felt the same way. But I don't think it's a coincidence
mm-hmm.
that in that very next inning, Carlos Correa comes up to the plate. Boom!
Yep.
Solo shot. Astros take the lead. They end up just completely putting it on the Rockies. End up winning 13-6. And when everybody was ready to quit, it felt like everybody was ready to quit.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa basically says, hell no.
Yeah.
Don't give up on us. Follow my lead. And the Astros just completely put it on the Rockies. Say what you want about the Astros. And they've given us a lot to be proud of
mm-hmm.
in this town the last few years. They've given us World Series. They've given us near World Series. They've given us MVPs with Jose Altuve. Cy Youngs with Justin Verlander. Rookie of the Year with Yordan Alvarez. One of the best teams in baseball the last 3 years. That game yesterday is the most proud I've been of this Astros team in the last 4+
really?
Years. Yes, because that was a time, if there was ever a time to just be defeated, put your tail between your legs, and just completely give up on a season that a lot of people are saying is a flukish season because yeah. it's a short season and all that, and everything just keeps come tumbling down on the Astros, that team put it on the Rockies' butts. And Carlos Correa, as he's done all season long with all the smoke, with all the animosity, he rose above, and so did the Astros. I was extremely proud of that team yesterday.
I think Carlos Correa, and it goes back to spring training, the original spring training, when he stepped up and started talking about everything going on, you know, surrounding the Astros, and he was very blunt about it. Then he came out and was very blunt about the criticism that the Astros were taking. And obviously, then there's the break. They come back. I think Carlos Correa has pretty much said, and I said this yesterday, I think he's going to be the face of this franchise. I think he's going to be the guy, given what Who knows how long Altuve is going to struggle, how much he's going to come back, if he's ever going to be, you know, that MVP-type player. I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but you get my point. Alex Bregman's always going to be there. But I think Correa is the guy that has pretty much said this year, going back to spring training, from when he first started kind of, you know, spreading his wings a little bit, I think he's pretty much said, guys, I got this. Just get on my back. I'll help you every step of the way. I'm going to do my part. I think he's the leader of the team right now.
He's the face of the franchise. Like, yeah. He is going to be the face of the franchise in 2 years. And quite honestly, this is the other thing about Correa. And oh my gosh, nothing gets me more sports horny than a 6-4-3 double play. Oh. I'm telling you right now, a 6-4-3, oh my gosh, it's almost like a field position battle in football. It gets me so sports horny. My gosh, I can't even explain. I get so hot and bothered when I see that 6-4-3. You saw that yesterday in the second inning. Framber Valdez loads the bases, yeah. And it looks like Framber is like about to be in trouble. And then all of a sudden, shot up the gap. Mm-hmm. Carlos Correa, dive, flip it with the glove. Altuve turns it, 6-4-3 double play, only one run allowed. And then all of a sudden you have Martin Maldonado. You talk about stepping up. Boom, tie game, and then the rest is history. Hopefully the Messiah gets right, but you cannot quit on this Astros team.
It'll be 2 or 3 weeks at minimum.
You cannot quit on this Astros team. They do not quit on you. You do not quit on them.
That's a great line.
It does not matter. It does not matter if this is a World Series or bust team anymore. When it comes to the city of Houston, it comes to everything you want from your team, everything you want from your organization, everything you want from your favorite players. You cannot quit on this Astros team because they will not quit on you, and we saw that yesterday.
And it starts with who? It starts with Carlos Correa. I think he's really that guy. You know what's funny about him is he's sort of like all of a sudden realized, you know, I'm not the guy I was trying to be. You know, he had this image he was trying to portray, obviously. You know,
he's younger than we think, too.
Oh, he's very young.
Like, he's not even in his mid-20s yet, but he's been around so long that we almost feel like he's older. He's not even the best version of himself yet.
Okay, hear me out on this. I think you're going to like this analogy. I love a good analogy. He's kind of like a baseball Miley Cyrus. Let me explain. All right? He's like a baseball Miley Cyrus. When Miley was, what was that character she played on Nickelodeon all the time?
Hannah Montana. Disney.
It was Disney. My bad. Hannah Montana was, you know, wholesome, put on this front, kind of cute, kind of, you know, everybody's all American, all that stuff. That's what Carlos Correa was trying to be early in his career.
I'm trying to compliment the dude, and you're comparing him to Miley Cyrus.
This is a huge compliment.
Like, what are we doing right now?
This is a huge compliment.
What are we doing right now?
You're not hearing me out.
Like, what are we doing right now?
You're not hearing me out.
This is weird.
Party in the USA, baby.
This is getting really weird.
You'll hear me out. I think you will agree.
I'm trying to compliment him.
You're not hearing me out. I think you will agree. Miley was not that sweet little girl that put on a front, right? She was not that sweet little girl. We know that now, and she's bigger than she's ever been.
You're kind of winning me over. Keep
she's
going,
bigger
keep going, keep going, keep
and badder than she's ever been.
There you go.
And people love Miley.
There you go. Okay.
Carlos Correa was not the guy that we thought he was, that he tried to be early in his career.
Okay.
Now he's shed Hannah Montana, and he's Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
He's a badass.
Okay.
He's unabashedly honest.
Okay.
He's not afraid to be himself.
All right.
I knew I would win you over.
Yeah. You did.
Carlos Correa.
I give you a fair chance. This is a good comparison.
Carlos Correa has gone from Hannah Montana to Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Party in the USA.
Okay.
Baby.
I see you. Stick that tongue out, Carlos. Astros win yesterday, looking for 8 straight today. My gosh. We're less than 4 hours away from the Stros. We're about 4 hours and change away from the Rockets. You better believe I'm going to be sipping at about 2. I can guarantee you that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. And oh, by the way, leading up to the best Thursday ever, Texans are going to be on the practice field. We're going to hear from Justin Reed. We're going to hear from John McClain. We're going to hear from Sean Pendergast. And we're going to hear from Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien going to set the scene for today's practice on the best Thursday ever next.
Say what we want. It's our party. We can love what we want. We can kiss what we want. We can...
Come on, no.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Best Thursday ever. About to hear from Bill O'Brien. Set the scene for practice. Practice going to take us up to the Astros, then the Rockets, all in the 2 o'clock hour. It's going to be a crazy day. It's going to be the best day ever. We're going to hear from Bill O'Brien, who, by the way, John Lopez says is in a jovial mood. Second straight year, John Lopez has said that Bill O'Brien is a happy guy.
No. Why you do this to me, man?
You know, John, I'll be honest with you. Like,
I'll be honest with you, too, Bill. Landry just doesn't get it, man.
Speaking of Bill O'Brien, let's go out to NRG. Practice is about to start. Bill O'Brien at the podium messing with the Zoom here on Sports Radio 610.
If you look at every position, have more stability as starters than you've ever had. Do you agree with that? And what jobs are up for grabs here when you compare, like, this time last year, the offensive line, but just all the stability you have at your positions?
I do think we have some depth. I do think that, you know, certain positions have a little bit more depth than other positions. I think when you think about starters, you think about, you know, different packages, especially on offense and defense. You know, you think about your 11 personnel, your 12 personnel. I mean, we have different types of that, if that makes sense. So, you know, you're looking at different tight ends that could be in there and different receivers that could be in there. If you're looking at, defense, you're looking at nickel, big nickel, smaller nickel. You're looking at dime. You're looking at base defense. So, you know, when you say starters and things like that, I don't know if we ever look at it that way. You know, certainly we have a starting quarterback, quite obviously, right? But, you know, starting left tackle, we have, you know, certain guys that are definitely, you know, we have a starting defensive end, and we have other, you know, starting inside linebackers. But there's other positions that become starters in certain packages, if that makes sense.
I have a follow-up, please. How good do you feel about what you just talked about in comparison to, say, your first six seasons?
You know, look, I think I'll be honest with you. I think it's a weird year. You know, I think that, you know, right now we would be getting ready for our third preseason game. That would be about the timing. And so we're behind when it comes to that. You know, we've got to, and it's not the player's fault. It's just the way it is. I mean, we've got to work to get to better shape. We've got to really try to do the best job we can of keeping our injuries down, soft tissue especially. So I think, you know, I think we're behind probably just like a lot of other teams. So I think it's going to be the team that can keep the virus out. I think it's going to be the team that can be in the best shape, the team that can improve from week to week. That's what you're trying to do.
Bill, what did you think about the game day and travel protocols that they released to the teams yesterday? And just what were some of your takeaways from that? And I have a follow-up.
The travel protocols that the NFL released, you mean?
Yeah, that and the game day protocols.
Oh, the game day, yeah. At first, I thought you said NBA travel protocols. I was like, I don't think they're traveling. They're in a bubble. But no, yeah, I mean, they're involved, Aaron. They're very involved. I really would have a hard time answering it right now because, you know, Jack and I were going through them last night with our sub-program heads, and, you know, we're going to have a meeting on Saturday about them. You know, everything from how many on the sideline to social distancing in the press box to, you know, how should we do the food at the hotel to, you know, only maybe 10 guys on a bus. I mean, it's just, you know, and everything in between. So just like every other team is dealing with that too. But I think it's going to take a lot of hours to really sift through that and make sure we get it right.
You guys brought back Darren Fells after he caught 7 touchdowns for you guys last year and also blocked really well. What did it mean to you to get him back, and what is it about him at his age that he's able to kind of sustain this high level and have this late career renaissance?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, didn't even play college football. I mean, he was a basketball player, you know, really a guy that is just a really mature, good person who cares about winning, cares about being a good teammate, and he really works hard to improve. You know, we do a lot of things with the tight end, and he came into our system last year, and he really learns well. He was able to produce. Deshaun has a lot of confidence in him in the passing game. You're right. He's a technically proficient blocker on the edge, which is hard to, you know, that's hard to find at that position. And so, I'm glad we were able to bring him back.
Mark Berman.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Mark, good.
I know that you have told us several times you have different wrap-up programs for different players. We haven't seen J.J. Watt out there for a few days. Can you tell us how he's doing, what's going on with him?
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's doing fine. You know, he's played a lot of football, and he knows how to play football. He what's important for him and for us is, you know, that he's in great condition and that he's ready to go on September 10th. So his ramp up is different than anyone else's. And I could say the same thing about, you know, Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks. Everybody's ramp up is a little bit unique. I think in this year, and I know you guys are really, you know, that's a real important part of your job is to see who's out there and all that. But I just wouldn't read too much into that moving forward. I really wouldn't.
Sean? Hey, good morning, Bill.
Hey, morning. Who's this?
This is Sean.
Oh, sorry, Sean. I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
No worries. Hey, you made a mention the other day of the process of bringing guys in for workouts and how it's a 3 or 4 day thing. You got to COVID test them. It's very, very different. I'm curious if during this time of year, how that affects decision making with finding solutions on the roster. Are you more inclined to look at guys that are already here a little bit harder because it's a more cumbersome process? And when the regular season rolls around, I'm going to assume that it's not going to change. Does that make it more difficult during the regular season to find guys?
It's definitely challenging. It's definitely different. I think you've got to, you know, with the roster that you have right now, I mean, this is basically your team. You know, you're at an 80-man roster, so eventually you've got to get down to 53 plus 16 on the practice squad. So you've got, you know, whatever, 69, 70-man roster at that point. You know, so you're looking at your team right now. So when you look at your team, you say, okay, based on injuries maybe, or just based on maybe a lack of depth, all right, maybe we need to look at a few guys that are out on the street that we know are good football players, that we know are good guys, you know, not pains in the asses, guys that are good guys that can come in and help us win. You know, I think that's something that we talk about every week and we say, or every day, excuse me, and we say, okay, if we're going to do it, we got to get the guy in now because he's got to test for 4 days or whatever, three negatives before he can even take a physical and work out or even meet with us or even come in the building. So it's different than it has been in the past, quite obviously, for obvious reasons. It's the same for every team. That's the beauty of the NFL. Every team's working under the same rules, but it's definitely a challenge.
Hey, Coach, you're able to – that's all right.
Sorry, Seth. I thought it was Sean again. Sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. It starts with an S. It's 4 letters. You said that you've been able to spend some more time with the defense. Is that giving you a different perspective on the offense while you're doing that? And is it kind of refreshing in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I've always spent time with the defense, but I think I'm able to go into a meeting more, even a staff meeting, and just give them maybe a couple tidbits of offensive perspective. Hey, this is what they're trying to do on this protection. This is what they're trying to do with this route scheme when they see this coverage, or, you know, just understand that this is beating this coverage or trying to, or this protection is, you know, if the linebacker moves, you know, 4 feet, then that might screw the protection up. I think sometimes defensive coaches don't understand that, you know, offensively, when a defensive player moves from here to here, that can totally change the call, you know? And so that's really like the perspective I try to give. And then we, obviously the biggest thing is the personnel, you know, how are we using personnel? We have a lot of versatile guys like Roby and Lonnie Johnson and Eric Murray and Justin Reed and Zach Cunningham and JJ Watt, quite obviously, and Charles Amenihu. So I always tell them, hey, this is a tough matchup for the offense when you put this guy here or that guy there. And that's really what I try to do. And I can do that a little bit more now.
When you watch Watson, what is he doing better right now than he was doing, say, at this time last year? And what would you like to see him do more of?
He's playing really well. I mean, he's playing at a really high level. He's got a real good grasp of our team, of our offense. He's got a real good grasp of the protections. He's throwing the ball accurately on time, making good decisions in the passing game. I think, you know, we've thrown a ton of passes. I think he's only thrown one interception the whole camp. You know, he's understanding the ball's coming out at a good, you know, in a good rhythm, and he just works hard to get better. He takes it very seriously. His meetings, he's very focused. The walkthroughs, he's very focused, and he looks at each practice, you know, like a game. And he tries to get better every day. So he's doing a great job.
Bill, can you talk about what makes Zach Cunningham so special? How critical he is to
with different packages on your defense?
Yeah, I mean, he's very athletic, very instinctive, really good tackler. You know, he's made a couple plays like on, you know, screen passes where he's fended off a blocker and been able to, you know, push the ball carrier back inside to where his help's coming from. You know, he can play zone coverage. He can play a man coverage. He's a good blitzer. We can use him in a lot of different areas. You know, we can use him not just at inside backer. You know, he just can do a lot of different things for us. He's a really, really good football player.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
That's Bill O'Brien getting ready for practice. Big day today, probably the best Thursday ever. Let's soak it all in. Texans 3 weeks away from the start of the season. Rockets looking to take a commanding two-game lead over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And those Astros, my gosh, they fight their asses off. Best Thursday ever. Let's look ahead next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
What was the biggest complaint Bill O'Brien had about DeAndre Hopkins? Based on reports, based on info, what was the biggest complaint Bill O'Brien had about DeAndre Hopkins?
Are we talking about practice?
Did not practice. He showed up on Sundays, but he did not practice. According to many, his practice habits were not good.
We in here talking about practice.
So why
is that Bill O'Brien?
That J.J. Watt's not practicing.
That was Snoop.
And all of a sudden, it seems okay for J.J. not to practice. Here's Bill O'Brien earlier today talking about J.J. Watt's not being out there practicing as the Texans are 3 weeks away from their game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's doing fine. He's doing fine. You know, he's played a lot of football.
Okay.
And he knows how to play football.
Okay.
What's important for him and for us is, you know, that he's in great condition and, you know, that he's ready to go on September 10th. So his ramp up is different than anyone else's. And I think in this year, and I know you guys are really, you know, that's a real important part of your job is to see who's out there and all that. But I just wouldn't read too much into that moving forward.
And
I really
yet,
wouldn't.
Okay.
And yet.
Okay. So he shows up on Sundays is basically what I just
heard. So he shows up on Sundays.
He knows how to play football.
He's a veteran guy.
Knows how to play.
He's played a lot of football.
He has.
And he's not worried about it.
There it is.
Yeah. Hmm. Huh. How is that different from DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't know. I just find it interesting that.
Oh, I know.
That's being said.
Oh, I absolutely know. 100% I know. Bill O'Brien just confirmed it. A lot about practice. A lot about that. Never was with DeAndre Hopkins. And make no mistake, this is not a criticism of J.J. Watt. You and I were talking about this day before yesterday.
I don't think he needs to practice. J.J.
Watt,
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins needs to practice.
He can sit in a hot tub until Thursday, game night. I don't, because he's a badass, and he knows how to get himself ready, and he's played a lot of football. All those things that Bill O'Brien just said. J.J., you know, go on vacation. Go to Cabo with Tony Romo and come back, you know, Wednesday night.
Don't do that.
Go to Cabo with Tony Romo and who was it? Who did he go with?
Witten and Bobby Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
And Jessica Simpson.
Oh, of course, Jessica Simpson.
Man, she was bad back then.
She's talking about not aging well.
No, she looks terrible, but she back then.
Yeah, yeah, she had it going on.
Ooh,
yeah, she had it going on.
But you know how rich she is.
JJ,
clothing line and stuff.
JJ, you do JJ, and just come on, show up on Thursday. But it clearly is not about was just about practice with DeAndre Hopkins.
Clear, there's more to it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it.
There was a lot more to it. Just like with Clowney, who, by the way, is Jadeveon Clowney the dumbest athlete of all time? And I'm not. You know how I feel about Clowney. I love Jadeveon Clowney, but. All right, so two seasons ago, he gets off to a slow start because he wasn't ready for training camp. Last year, he holds out, gets off to a bad start because he wasn't ready for training camp. And now, in this time, we're 3 weeks away from the season. He still hasn't signed for a team. He's probably not going to be able to produce at his ultimate level because he's not going to be ready for training camp. This guy,
look at this bleeping guy.
This guy, Jadeveon Clowney, who I love, who I think if the Texans brought him in, I think it would change the whole perception of the Texans. I think it'd be a good thing. But, man, he has not done himself any favors the last few years. JD, you're killing me, man. I want you
to be appreciated. But my gosh, how many training camps in a row can you miss before you realize that you need to be there? We'll go out to training camp and talk to Sean Pendergast at 11:20. John McClain's also going to join the show. So keep it locked here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Yesterday when we were on the air, the news broke that Jordan Alvarez could potentially be out for the season. Chandler Rome and Brian McTaggart talked about it. Dusty had his media availability, Dusty Baker, the skipper of your Astros, and he confirmed our fears before the Astros game yesterday.
He's going to undergo surgery next week to correct a partial tear of the patella tendon in his right knee, and he's expected to make a full recovery.
All right, so Jordan is out for the season, expected to make a full recovery. Baseball Messiah yesterday comes up lame in the fourth inning. He has to leave the game after a double, but the Astros end up winning. I said earlier in the show that this is the most proud I've been of this Astros team because as soon as I saw the Messiah, Alex Bregman, limping, I figured, man, this is a defeated team. If there was ever a time to quit, this would be the time. However, they just completely put it on the Rockies, starting with the solo shot of Carlos Correa. But, man, Jordan out for the year, Verlander likely out for the year, Osuna out for the year, the Messiah on the injured list, likely, Michael Brantley on the injured list. My goodness. It sucks, but this team does not quit. Four games above 500, seven straight wins now.
I keep saying that, you know, all these injuries and all these setbacks, you know, have to catch up to the Astros at some point, but they're not. I mean, seven straight wins, they're getting it done. They're putting together great pitching performances from guys that you really did not expect a lot from. Fromber was outstanding. You know, they're getting bullpen relief, but I think, you know, the overriding factor here is Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa is just putting this team on his shoulders and doing everything. I think he leads the team in batting average, leads the team's second in the team in RBI, leads the team in on-base percentage. And he's just a different guy, man. I mean, Carlos Correa, it's now becoming very, very evident that he and Bregman, but I think mostly he is going to be the face of this franchise moving forward, and he's certainly going to carry this team this year given all the injuries.
Post-game show today is going to be on Facebook Live. Yesterday we were on the air, as we always are, with yours truly. I think the best way to sum up the Astros is through a caller.
Okay,
a caller actually called into the show, and we love callers, 713-572-4610. We like contributions. We don't like to take calls just to take calls.
Be ready.
You got to be ready to go. You got to be ready. And yesterday, I tell you what, this Cody in Bel Air character that called in yesterday, I think he said it better than I could have even said it myself when it comes to how yesterday's Astros win felt. Here was Cody in Bel Air yesterday on the postgame show.
Cody, you're on the postgame show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I think there's two things that really stand out to me about tonight's game. First, it is a team that is mentally strong. I think when you get rattled easily in any aspect of life, especially at work, when you get rattled easily, I think that shows that you're mentally weak. This team does not get rattled. You should have been rattled with the Jordan news and Bregman going down in the game. Not rattled at all. I think a lot of credit to Correa, who's been with this squad, been through some of the tough times, been through the good times. So I think that's key number one. Number two is also Correa related. How good has the defense been for this team? We've seen teams that the Astros have played be sloppy on defense.
Nobody's talking
and
about.
You watch it night in, night out. Teams are sloppy on defense. The Astros, especially up the middle, Correa and Altuve. I mean, Altuve can't hit to save his life, but the glove's been nice.
Yep.
That's something that they're going to miss a little bit with Bregman out. But the glove has been nice up the middle. The defense overall has been pretty nice. That's kind of been a calling card of theirs. So mentally strong, do not get easily rattled like some people, and good defense so far. I think those are two huge keys to this Astros team getting things going and staying on the right path.
There you go. Man, that was very well said.
All right, Cody.
Cody and Belair's got something.
Yeah, he's got a little something.
He sounds like he might.
A lot of time on his hands, what it sounds like.
It sounded like
sounded like he needs a segment.
It sounds like he needs a segment.
That's like his show.
He did his thing.
How do you come to that conclusion, sir?
He just tells some sometimes.
He knows his baseball, though. Hey, Cody and Bel Air, welcome to call on the postgame show anytime. Shout out to
you do a hell of a job with that. I don't think you get enough credit for it.
Well, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
It's fun, man. I'm really enjoying this Astros season. And
Paul Brown, sometimes he doesn't get the credit, it seems.
It really, that's still the worst take Vandy's ever had. Paul Brown doesn't. He's got a freaking NFL team named after him. But I'm really enjoying, of all the teams that we've covered, like in the last, let's just say, half decade, this Astros team to me is the most exciting. And the reason is, first of all, we didn't think this season was going to happen. We went months without a baseball season. Second of all, there was all the drama that happened in the offseason, and it's kind of been put in the back seat because we're so happy that they're playing. We've also kind of been spoiled by the Astros to where you expect certain things.
Bingo.
And whenever you don't have those same expectations that you've had the previous few years, a lot of times people just are like, well, screw this, I don't care. To me, this is just as enjoyable to watch as World Series expectations, because they're just scratching, they're clawing, they're fighting their ass off. We didn't think this was going to happen. It's an unorthodox season. They've gone through adversity. They keep fighting. They don't quit on you. I've enjoyed covering this Astros team as much as I have any other squad.
You know what I think it is? This team has an air of mystery around it, an air of uncertainty around it. Because let's say everybody was healthy and they started the season, you know, on time, and we're, you know, already past the All-Star break right now, et cetera, et cetera. We knew how good this team was going to be, with or without trash cans, right? We knew
right.
They were going to pitch. They've got established players. They can bring in the young guys how they want. You know, all these guys are, you know, certainly we would have known that Springer might be in his last year, but we know what they would have brought. I think it's because, like, there's kind of like uncertainty about with the injuries, especially in the short season and everything else. There's more anticipation every night for this team. Because how many times last year or the year before, you would turn on the Astros game just to see how bad they beat someone.
Right.
Now you're turning on the Astros game to see if they win and to see who shows up that you don't even know, you know. And I think that's a big thing. That's a big part of it.
I'm just so proud of the squad. Yeah. I mean, they're showing that they got heart. I mean, they got heart, and I don't know. I wish I could be as proud of this Astros team as I am, like, the Texans. Like, can I be as proud of the Texans? Can I be as proud of the Rockets? Like, I've just never really felt this much pride in a team, and it's not. It's just crazy because they've accomplished so much more in previous seasons where they won the World Series. They lost in the ALCS. They should have won the World Series last year if Hinch hadn't peed down his leg. With his decision making, and this is just this right here is just it's fun to watch them scrap. I mean, dude, John, today when the lineup comes out, and the lineup's going to come out momentarily. Best Thursday ever. Astros are going to start at 2:10. Then you're going to have the Rockets at 2:30. They're not going to have Bregman. They're not going to have Yordan Alvarez. They're not going to have Michael Brantley. Like, your infield might be Jack Mayfield and Abraham Toro.
Yeah.
And then Altuve, who got two hits yesterday, an infield single, and then Gurriel. It's a scrappy lineup. And by the way, can I shout out Big Tuck too yesterday?
How about that? How many?
Kyle Tucker, two triples and a homer yesterday. We would not have gotten a chance to evaluate Kyle Tucker had it not been for all of these injuries. And I think Kyle Tucker, although it hasn't been pretty the whole time, the way that he stepped it up yesterday with two triples and a bomb, you might have a keeper. You might have a keeper.
Well, that's what you wanted
Kyle
to find
Tucker.
Out.
You might have a keeper.
Big T. U-C-K-K.
There you go.
Coconuts from Kyle Tucker yesterday.
I think he was one base away from a single game record for total bases by a single player.
Well, if he hadn't tripped on second, he would have had an inside the park home run on that first triple, you goofy draft looking mofo.
So what did he have? How many bases? 12, 13 bases he had?
I know he had the two triples in the homer.
Yeah, and reached it again.
A little Big Tuck action. What if he ends up being a keeper?
Well, you're finding out, and that's what you want to know. And I think it goes back to your point here. why you like this team so much and they're so likable is that kind of like uncertainty, young guys, new faces. You know, are they going to win? We're hopeful. We're excited. Kind of like a college football team. You know, you go into a season. I don't care if you're Alabama. Okay, maybe Alabama's an exception. But most college football teams, you go into every season thinking, feel pretty good about this. A lot of young guys. We'll see about that new wide receiver. Quarterback's going into his second year. You know, that kind of mystery and anticipation, because every season is different, and that's what makes it exciting. I think that's the way you're feeling about the Astros right now.
I've got to get this off my chest too, though.
All right.
When it comes to the Astros.
Okay.
Why in the mother bleep did Framber Valdez go out there for the eighth inning?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you
had
else?
A 10-run lead, and you sent this kid out there. He ends up going the 7 2/3, throws over 100 pitches. Why in the hell did Framber Valdez go out there? And why the hell was Joe Biagini on the team? That guy,
this guy
sucks.
This guy.
One-third of an inning, three
He's
runs.
Funny, though.
He's not. The only thing worse than that guy's jokes is his pitching. Get him the hell out of here. I don't want to look at Joe Biagini anymore. Get him off my TV screen, please. Please.
I was going to say he strikes me as like one of those 4A, 4A type players, you know.
Get him out of here.
Good enough to get past Triple A baseball, but not good enough to be in the major leagues.
He
I'm
stinks.
Not even sure he's that.
He stinks.
I'm not even sure he's that.
Dude comes in there, can't even get it. They have to use the bullpen even more. This dude's out there, gets through a third of an inning, and then he comes in there and can't even get an out in the ninth. Bases loaded.
Yeah.
Joe Biagini.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here, Biagini.
Funny guy.
Seriously.
Though.
No, he's not. He's really not.
He's really not.
Absolutely ridiculous. But I'm very, very proud of the Astros. We'll see what happens.
Who hates Biagini more, you or Sean Pendergast?
Probably Sean.
Yeah?
Probably Sean. And there's a rule to life. If Sean Pendergast hates you, that's a you thing.
Yeah, you got a problem.
That's a you problem. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Texans practice going on right now. We'll hear from Justin Reed at noon 15. We'll hear from Sean Pendergast after practice at 11:20. John McClain also going to join the show. And, oh, my gosh, we're about 3 hours and change away from the Astros' first pitch. And then shortly after that, the Rockets going to tip off. It is the best Thursday ever. Keep it locked. A Texans practice report coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.